Hi, and welcome to episode 98 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, a place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and joining me are the creator of the British superhero webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
Our very own overgrown man-child, Tony Esmond.
Oh, Knuckles McCare Bear.
Yes, that's his grinder name.
We did have a laugh this week making up names for a character of Dan's, didn't we?
Yes.
That was amusing.
Yes.
Me. Yeah, my whole train journey passed by very quickly coming up. Yes. With stupid names.
Yes. We might have to drop some of those in the show as we go. Just say them out of the
blue.
Good
idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Good idea.
And we've also got a guest. If these two weren't enough, this week we're joined by the creator of Squid Bits, currently featured in the pages of The Phoenix. She's a convention regular and has just released the most brutally honest, heartfelt comic about parenting you're likely to see. That book, much like this show, is filled with poo jokes. It's titled Tiny Overlord Adventures in Parenting, and that creator is one Jess Bradley. Welcome to the show, Jess.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh.
I'm very nervous.
Oh, Jess.
So I'll probably...
Don't be nervous. Christ, we've been talking for half an hour. Can you be nervous?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was, yeah, technical difficulties, but I've kind of got like a weird, you know how chimps kind of smile when they're scared?
Yeah.
I've kind of got this permanent sort of nervous grin on my face. Because I don't do podcasts very often.
No one's there to see it, Jess, so you just look like a lunatic, probably.
I don't think you might be able to hear it.
Can you hear my smile, which is a... my album name.
I said Scat Chat finds a welcome home on the ACP.
Once again. Oh, if only Hank Fingerblast was here.
That's one of my favourite names. Already we've started on a high. Amazing. Right, we've wanted to get Jess on the show for a while now. And not just because it means it won't just be us talking about poop for 2 hours straight. She's also a regular in one of the brightest lights in All Ages Weekly Comics right now, that being The Phoenix. A few people know about that book. We thought we would take a week to talk about those comics that don't always get to be the topic of discussion amongst those grizzled and embittered comic fans like us, which all three of the hosts here are. Yes, kids comics, or comics for all ages, if you will. I don't know. Whenever I say all ages comics, I don't know if anyone's going to take umbrage with that. I mean, people take umbrage with anything these days, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, comics were kind of comics for everyone anyway, weren't they? A large section of their lives,
yeah.
I suppose.
When did it all change?
I don't know. Direct market?
Mm.
When the direct market started, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to say, isn't it? I suppose different times for different companies and people. Yeah.
Well, it's weird, though, because if you said, like, a comic now, you would have to kind of put the prefix of kind of all ages or something. Well, it's the same with books, isn't it? Go and grab a book off the shelf, or go get a kid's book.
Or television, or movies, things like that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's good that you have to kind of make that distinction, because it shows that comics have grown in as much that they always maybe were thought of as a kid's thing.
Yeah.
And they've changed.
And this is, you know, after all, it is just a delivery system, a comic, isn't it, to tell us all kinds of stories. So it should be able to tell, you know, stories that are suitable for children and stories that are suitable for adults and sexy people like ourselves.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
we're talking about kids' comics, but the show is in no way kid-friendly.
Please do not let kids listen to that
in the first 5-10 minutes.
We know this, but everyone, including us, let's face it, we all had a gateway drug, didn't we, when it came to this sort of pastime we love.
Heroin.
I doubt it would be Crossed or Neonomicon. I'm sure it was something different to that. And in this ever-changing world of sequentials, where can the next generation get their fix? And I don't mean like drugs, of course. Drugs are bad. Drugs are terrible.
Don't do drugs.
The only thing you should be addicted to is listening to the show.
I'm not sure about that, to be fair, but
probably, yeah. There'll probably be some sort of meetings for that at some point. But to start us all off, do you think that, like, what are we going to call them for this show? All ages comics or kids comics? What do you guys prefer to call them?
Yeah, I like kids comics, you know. I do like that.
I guess just, something that's accessible to everyone.
I mean, what are the comics that you make, Jess? I mean, do you say, I make comics for kids?
Not really, no, because I don't like talking down to kids, so I kind of do the same with my comics. I just do what I think is funny,
and you
which
happen
hopefully
to be a
other
child.
People.
Yeah.
But, yes.
Yeah.
I'm 37, but I've still got like the mental age of like a 18-year-old.
And that's why you're so welcome here, Jess.
Yes.
To be fair.
Oh, I'm not mature in any way, but I think just trying to do something that everyone finds funny. Like I do like dropping kind of film references into a lot of my comics that kids might not get. So there has been a RoboCop reference in Squid Bits.
There's been a RoboCop reference. Oh, already Dan's a fan.
Yeah.
Yes. And Trading Places, which one person picked up on, and I was really, really happy about that. So it's a little thing that it's more for my own amusement because I spend so much time on my own drawing.
So just 40-year-old movies. Yeah.
I had quoted Predator all the way through the first issue of Vanguard, so that's fun.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. I approve.
I have a feeling that this show just might turn into us like gushing over the things that we used to love when we were growing up.
I'm happy to do that.
But I think you're on, like you've said the right thing there, Jess. That like the best sort of kids comics or kids entertainment in general, if you make it, it's never to talk down to them, is it?
No,
because they.
Yeah.
It's always even when I was a kid, you know. I think even when you're a child, you can tell when you're being patronised. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, totally.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is too childish for me. You know, I want something that, look, these characters die. I like this. You know.
We were always into the dark stuff. Like, me and my brother sort of grew up. Well, I can still remember. But I should put this into context first. My parents never really censored much for us. Like, so if Aliens was on, we could stay up and watch it, but if we got scared, we had to leave the room so the telly didn't go off. It was like, oh, if you don't like it, you can get lost.
Okay.
And we used to get, for our birthdays and Christmas, we used to get like one VHS tape that then kind of as our one of our presents. And my mum got my brother this really crappy kind of sci-fi fantasy film. I can't even remember what it was. It was terrible. So she was let's go back to W.H. Smith. I know the cover. I can see the cover in my head, but I've never really searched it out. But
What did the cover look like? Because we may be able to figure this out.
It had a guy. It had a guy riding a flying panther.
Oh my god!
Oh,
yeah. That sounds fucking amazing.
I think it was dubbed, so I don't think it was like an English-speaking film. And I'm sure it had wizards. It had wizards in the title. But I can't remember what it was.
Is it one of the sort of Beastmaster rip-offs or something like that? Was it? I know they did a few
different.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good. So we took it back to W.H. Smith, and my mum was. Bear in mind, my brother at the time was like 10 or 11. Yeah. My mum was like, oh, what do you want instead? Ben, Critters, RoboCop? And he chose RoboCop. So RoboCop at quite a young age. I can remember we were watching it that evening with my mum, and it got to the bit where they kill Murphy and like shoot his hand off, and me and my brother there going, oh my god, I've never seen anything like this, and my mum's there with her hand over her mouth going, oh, I don't remember it being this violent, but by then it was too late. So yeah, it was kind of that was our kind of stepping stone, I think. And then it was like Total Recall was the next one we got on video, and But we knew the difference between fantasy and reality, so it's not like we went out and tried to like.
You weren't going up escalators and then pulling in innocent people in front of you so they get blasted apart by machine gun fire.
I used to really hate that bit. And the bit where he shoots the rat, where Michael Ironside shoots the rat and it splatters on the screen.
Yeah, that's pretty grim.
That's good. But to put it into context. So we never really, I mean, we watch cartoons and stuff, but we always, you know, liked stuff that we weren't meant to watch.
Yeah.
It's sort of like A-Teens, Terminator and all that sort of stuff. So, I think a lot of that sort of carried through into my work. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't draw like violence for kids, but I try not to talk down to kids.
This is not a great advert at the moment.
I've done enough workshops in schools to know that, you know, kids kind of like stuff that isn't meant for kids.
So like bogeys and all this sort of thing. Kids like that, don't they? Yeah.
I did one workshop. A load of 11-year-olds were quoting The Inbetweeners, and I was kind of,
oh my god,
should you be watching this? You know, I'm not really kind of like, oh, don't watch that, it's an 18, but kind of, it was pretty full on. I was quite shocked.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. That brings me back to our previous conversation about another name I came up with, Hawk the Bumder.
Well, I can always get a laugh at my son by mentioning Willy's poo or bum or something. Yeah. I read a story as he was going to bed, the tiger skin rug, about how like a tiger kind of takes the place of a tiger skin rug so he can get fed. And I said, hey, I've got an idea for a book. And he's like, what? And I went, the Willy skin rug. And he's just rolling
what?
About.
Hang on, what? Hang on, let's...
Most irresponsible parent.
Oh,
easy to get laughs out of him. Obviously, that's not the kind of material you put in the Phoenix. That's a much better publication.
No, I could get away with your poo thing, but yeah, I think Willy's are one step too far.
Yeah, it's a bit too much.
Yeah, I mean, it brings up an interesting point. Like when you're creating your comics, obviously, you know, do you ever have to self-censor yourself? You know, obviously, you do your initial sort of drafts and things, and you just. I guess you're just doing anything. Do you sometimes write things and then look at it and go, oh, maybe that's not right for my designated audience?
Yeah. Very rarely, but sometimes I'll do something and I'll think, because I like being mean to my characters, and I think, oh, I think this is a bit much. But then whenever I talk to my editor, he's like, oh, I don't think you've pushed this far enough. I think we can go one step further. So they're quite... He likes the meanness of certain things as well. So if anything, sometimes they encourage me to kind of go one step further. But no, I think I've done enough. I've been drawing it for about 3 or 4 years now. So I kind of know where the level to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And also, you've built up quite an audience, haven't you, really, with your strip? I know certainly the Phoenix, doesn't the Phoenix say on their website that, you know, it helps kids get into drawing and, like, actually sort of working on comics and stuff like that? Didn't they say something like that on their website? I've got to look it up now.
Yeah, I think that might be on Wikipedia, because I didn't even know it was on Wikipedia, and I had a look. But yeah, I think just because my style's quite simple, I think, and easy to kind of copy. But I really like that. I, you know, when kids come up to me and they're like, oh, I drew Red Panda or something, and it's just really sweet. And yeah, I kind of, if it helps them with drawing, I'm all for that.
Yeah, because that's how it starts. Do you know what I mean? I mean, how many of us out there have like read comics and then we've, I don't know, copied some of the pages, just even, you know, no matter how crude or how crap it is when you're 4 or 5 or whatever, but you're just trying to copy that art style, all those sort of ideas. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't have, like now, there's A4 bits of paper and pads everywhere. Do you know what I mean? There's paper as far as the eye can see. But when I was a kid, I didn't really have like loads of sketch pads and stuff. So I used to draw like in the interior pages of like the books that were in the house. So, you know, when you get the blank pages before, like, a novel starts, there would be a stick
the
man.
The fly sheet,
yeah,
I believe that's
there,
called.
There would be a Captain America stick man in there fighting a Wolverine. You know, that's how it started with me.
I've got an image of you in a sort of Victorian closet locked in by some cruel parents. Just,
Please, Mama, can I have some paper?
No.
You have Far From the Madding Crowd and nothing else.
Yeah, that's all you can have. Yeah.
But everyone does start somewhere, don't they?
I mean
Justin, Dan and you, Tony, where did you all start? Did you used to scribble the stuff that you saw in comics?
Well, you've got to bear in mind that I'm from the Iron Age, so that, you know, there was nobody. I think my dad used to bring home typewriter paper. And I remember like doing stuff like practicing on the typewriter when I was a kid, writing out the names of all the superheroes and all the covers of the, you know, Marvel UK comics I had and stuff like that. And I would sort of try and draw them, copy them from, you know, we should post some, shouldn't we? We should post some of our first attempts at drawing on the Facebook page. That'd be good.
Yeah. If you post up the earliest example you've got of you trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be,
I've got some of my old school books from 1987.
We'll set that thread up on Monday when you listen to this.
I suspect all of mine are lost to time. Even though, who knows, I may come across one of my old maths textbooks that has a drawing of Bret the Hitman Hart in it.
Awesome. Yeah. As it should do.
When I should have been working.
I do remember someone in a German class telling me, like one of my fellow pupils sort of rebuking me, saying that you should be like learning German as opposed to drawing whatever I was. And I said, I'll show him. And look at me now. I'm not drawing comics for a living.
You often think of that moment, though, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I'm stacking the shelves.
Did you go and work? did you follow Archie and go and work at Bumley's?
I would so work at Bumley's.
That was like the best panel. I was reading it and I'm thinking, no. I thought I'll read some Archie comics in preparation. I don't really read that many sort of kids' comics. And he goes to work. It's called Archie and Working 5 to 9. That's a clever story name. And he goes to work in the Riverdale shopping mall in a place called Bumley's.
There's no way that you'd work there. No way.
Yeah. No. What did they do?
You'd be suspicious all the time, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What do they sell here?
Yeah. It's more of a service. I'm leaving.
Oh dear.
And I did post it on Twitter, and Jess did say I'd work there straight away. Was it the phrase you used, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I was like, how could you not want to work at a shop called Bumley's?
Bumley's. So what was your earliest comic you can remember starting on or buying? Group.
Good idea. Jess, you go first. You're our guest. Go on.
Well, got the Beano and the Dandy, obviously. But I can remember we only ever really got the Beano and the Dandy when none of the other good comics were in. So they were kind of like our last resort comics. So it was Whizzer and Chips and one called Big Comics Fortnightly. But it seems like nobody besides me ever remembers that comic existing.
No, I don't remember that one.
Oh, it was so good. It was big Comics Fortnightly and Huge Comics Monthly. And it was a bit like Whizzer and Chips with
does
those
size,
kind of...
Does size matter?
Yes.
Yeah, because the huge one was bigger.
Yeah, that little moment of quiet there. When you
I like to think it's what you do with it.
So test the water. It's cold. The water's cold.
Yeah. Pretend it was a joke.
But those two, were they like the sort of like Beano and Dandy? Did they have a collection of different characters and stuff?
Yeah, it was kind of more like Whizzer and Chips. So yeah, there was some. I'm trying to think of some of the strips that were in there. One of the only ones I can remember it was this kid who was a sheik, like a rich sheik, and he was called Mustafa Million. And
I think I remember that. Yeah,
he used to take all his friends on these crazy adventures and like buy them loads of stuff. And there was one called Family Trees, which was about a bunch of trees.
The good old days, eh?
It was actually it was really good. It was kind of the very sort of simple kind of what's the word I'm looking for?
Those sort of weekly anthology type stuff that you just get lots of different.
It was really cool. I think I've still got some issues that I managed to salvage from our old house up in the loft, so I've always tried to find them.
They're
all yellow and kind of like red to death.
I mean do you think that sort of format is best for the younger audience? I mean, because certainly when I grew up, there was the Beano and the Dandy, and you had Battle and you had Action and you had the 2000 ADs, etc., etc., and they all have that, you know, it's quite a few different comics, different types of stories in one format. They're usually all about, 6-8 pages each? And they've got, different things, like letters pages and, competitions and all of that. That seems
letters
to be...
Letters pages are cool, aren't they?
Oh, I love letters pages.
We like letters pages. More of that to come.
Yeah,
I tell you what's odd. The letters page now, you don't have to write in a letter to a magazine to get interaction with the artist, editor, whatever. Like with social media now, you just reach out and tweet them or message them.
I was so proud when I got a letter printed. I was over the moon.
But that's I think quite an important thing. I mean, this may show my sort of way of thinking, but when it comes to social media, I don't think really young kids should be on it
too
soon. So if you've got a weekly comic and you've got a letters page, I think it's still hugely valid.
Yeah,
you're still going to have that moment of a kid sending in a letter and then seeing it printed. Because like you say, when you're a kid and you see a letter printed that you've written, it just makes your week, doesn't it? It's just totally amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, what I used to do with my son, my son's in his 20s now, but I used to get him to write a review of a comic. So we'd get him to write a review of a comic or a movie, and then we'd send it to someone who was involved in the making of that comic or the making of that movie, and they would write back on occasion.
And, that's really nice.
It's great for him because he's learning, you know. I used to say, right, it's got to be more than 100 words, you know, and this sort of thing. And so we'd sit there and work through it, and he'd tell me what he liked, and I said, we'll write that down. And we'd send it off, and quite often, Dan Slott wrote back to us, you know, all different people wrote back, and I thought, that is really nice, you know, and that cheered him up, and it spurred him on. Also helped him, as all comics should do, helped him with his sort of writing and, you know, this sort of thing. You know, it was really good.
I think there's that brought a lot of people to comics when they were younger. That's sort of like, it's an in-between step between kind of like not reading and then reading. And
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I've
got some vague memories of, you know, just when I wasn't reading that well, when I was like just preschool just like looking at the pictures, and then the words would kind of, you know, form a different story, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Once you got into reading it, it's like, I'm trying to teach myself to read French comics at the moment. And, you know, when you actually translate them, you think, oh, that's not exactly what I thought that panel meant.
Yeah.
You know? But it's a really interesting process.
It's kind of like that process of, like, you're not reading for reading's sake or because you're being told to by your school, your parents. You're reading because you want to, and you're enjoying, you want to get out of it what it's supposed to be, the comic.
Yeah.
So the reading kind of like, what you want to learn, because you want to find out, like you did with the French comic, what the content is.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That drives your learning.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to remember what your first comic is sometimes, isn't it? Because you're such a kid, aren't you? Presumably, mine was something like Wizard and Chips or, you know, The Dandy or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the first memories I have of the British Marvel UK stuff, and like Mighty World of Marvel and Spider-Man Weekly, and then shortly after that, Captain Britain Weekly. And I've still got those issues, and some of them are coloured in, you know, because they were in black and white. I decided, I coloured them in.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at some the other day, and I was thinking, you know, because I had no clue what the colours were of all the costumes, so I just coloured them in whatever colour. You know, me and my mates would sit around and do it. And yeah, it's a great sort of activity thing as well, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. Here's an interesting thing. The first main sort of, like you say, you remember those Marvel ones.
Yeah.
Do you think the first sort of company that you get introduced to when you're a kid, do you think that factors in to whether you're a Marvel or you're a DC or you're a Valiant or something, you know?
Definitely.
I think talking about with JP about the Transformers and stuff like that, you can see that had an impact on him, you know?
Yeah.
And the first comic that I kind of remember, like you say, there's the, you know, the Beano and the Danny and stuff, but the first one that sticks in my mind was a Marvel team up, Spider-Man and Havoc.
Issue. Yeah. Dave Cockrum, is that Dave Cockrum? Or is it? No, so. It's John Byrne, isn't it? Got a feeling it might be John Byrne.
They were fighting some sort of Egyptian villain.
Pharaoh.
I know the cover quite clearly because Spider-Man is in between Havoc and the bad guy and he's being caught in an energy blast.
Yeah.
And that will, you know, I can't remember specifics of the story, but that issue is almost like a Holy Grail issue. Do you know what I mean? Because that's where it all started.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, kind of come upon the thought now. A lot of the comics, when I started getting into it quite young, obviously moving on from the Beano and stuff like that, they were all centered around toy lines, and it was a promotional push. Do you know what I mean? Like Transformers, Action Force. I can remember getting a Sectars comic and stuff like that. And they were based around a toy line.
Or an animated series, for instance.
The
real Ghostbusters was huge for me when I was a kid.
Oh, right. We had loads of those comics.
Yeah. Right. I actually turned my home into... God, I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Here we go. This is last week, by the way.
Yeah, I bought several issues of like number one or number two or whatever, and I chopped up a couple of them to turn parts of my house into a Ghostbusters kind of museum. A museum basically meant that I sellotaped page, like the fact files and stuff, up on the walls, so as you're walking up the stairs, you can read about the Ghostbusters.
How long did that last?
A good couple of weeks. So,
wow.
Yeah, God bless my parents.
Did you? Did you put up the Spengler's Spirit Guide? That used to be my favourite bit.
It was all there.
I used to love that bit in the comic.
Yeah, and that comic was awesome. Also responsible for one of the I think one of the images that I not traced but I copied more than any other. There was a sort of character picture of Peter Venkman, and he was stood in a position with the sort of the pack over his shoulder or whatever, and that was just one of those pictures that. When you're a kid, you look at it and you're like, oh my God, that's the best thing ever. I have to draw it over and over and over again. Yeah,
I used to draw Bert Raccoon from the Raccoons quite a lot. And I sent in a picture of Bert Raccoon to Heartbeat, hoping it would get in the gallery, and it never did.
Hey,
Now look,
I wonder if it's a commercial property, they wouldn't stick that on there.
Yeah.
No, oh, you cynic.
I didn't know that at the time.
I always got fond memories of Oink, the comic.
Oh,
I used to really like that.
I never read that. JP was a big fan of that. But yeah. It was one of those that never... It was like never in my newsagent. So whether I would have picked that... Because I used to like Mad Magazine when I was a kid. My mum got me like a copy once and said, oh, you might like this. And then I used to get Mad...
That's interesting. How readily available was that?
W.H. Smith used to have it because I was really into the Aliens like comic magazine as well. So I used to go in town and get Mad Magazine and the Aliens magazine as well.
Brilliant. Yeah. I've got a copy of Mad in front of me, actually. Yeah. Yeah, you used to be able to get it in sort of fairly good news agents, didn't you? I think.
Yeah, John Menzies.
Oh yeah, never used to be
able to. Don't exist anymore.
Remember being able to get that because I would have bought it. I would just went to the news agent virtually daily.
I've never read an issue of it.
Have you? I'm gonna guess what the cover is for the one I got in front of me.
Is it old?
You know, it's
Batman.
It's,
what year?
Yeah, let's see. What 1986. There you go. That's a clue as to what could be on it. And it's the British version. So,
I wouldn't have a clue.
It's the EastEnders one.
Oh my
really?
God.
Yeah.
Wow.
How cool is that?
Wow.
I think the first one I ever got, they did a parody of The Addams Family. So it must have been, I can't remember when that film came out. Is it 93?
92, 93, yeah.
Yeah, so I would have been 12 or 13 when I first started getting it.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, blimey. I never had it. How, what, in terms of like content, like for kids and stuff, how good is that magazine for kids?
I think it had a lot of sort of one page strips, didn't it?
I didn't get a lot of it. I don't think I got a lot of it. I liked the artwork. And then there was some of the, what's his name? Sergio.
Aragonés. And you also had John Martin as well, did stuff.
His stuff
sort
was
of one-page
really
gag stuff.
But
a lot of satirical humour was kind of over your head, as it were.
Spy versus Spy you had as well, didn't you?
Spy versus.
I only remember that in video games.
I didn't know it was.
Wasn't it? Is that the same?
There was a video game of Spy versus Spy.
Yeah.
One dude in.
Is there a movie as well? Was there a really bad movie of it?
Oh God!
I tell you what, that rings a bell, you know.
Be surprised.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't Paul Verhoeven though, so most of the people on this show won't watch it.
I've just sent you the cover on the tweets, the DM on the tweets for the three of you to look at it for the EastEnders special. It's got Den and Ange on the cover.
Oh my God!
It's gonna be gold.
And lofty. And some bloke who looked a bit like Bruce Springsteen, but I'm not exactly sure it's meant to be.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Sorry, the first thing my eye went to was Winkles.
Always.
Who's that guy on the left supposed to be?
Winkles.
I think that's meant to be Den, isn't it? Dirty Den.
Really? Oh, that's really? That's not a good one.
I don't know. The one in the middle is meant to be
70p. It was 70p.
Yeah, it was cheap.
Cute.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I have to put that up on the Facebook group because otherwise people have no idea what we're talking about there.
Yeah, we'll
make. But on the top of this magazine, it does say "A Jewel of the Nile," and it also mentions the young Sherlock Holmes. Bloody hell!
Yeah, I think the strip is called Fall of the Nile in the back of it.
Well, they really worked hard for that title, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they pulled out all the stops there. I used to buy the Star Trek ones when they did the Star Trek movie ones. I thought they were quite good.
But you're a Trekkie, though, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. It's far better than Doctor Who. Ooh!
I'd agree with that.
No argument on this show.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement. Bring it on, internet. Bring it on.
Bring it on. No,
I'm glad we always look to pick fights with a fan base.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Following the trend of people on Twitter.
Just trying to get them to despise us, you know.
I think I mentioned it on the other show, but like when I was reading stuff like the Bash Street Kids, the chap who made it sadly passed away. I mentioned the barrel thing. Does anyone know where the hell that comes from?
No.
Like when a poor kid goes to school, he's got like wearing a barrel with braces on.
No.
I was just like, well, what's that mean?
I thought that was quite an American thing, like a sort of hillbilly.
Yeah.
You don't really get that
thing. I don't know.
You never really got many barrels around in the UK, did you? Really?
No. But it was a British comic, but they're drawn in Scotland, wasn't it?
I think you used to get barrels, didn't you, outside pubs and stuff. I used to clean a pub when I was a child. You know, it was obviously forced to by my parents in a sort of workhouse manner. And that had like a
barrel.
Yeah, and that had a barrel with all the water novel, from though, the dripping pipe.
It is a Dickens novel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because a lot of the jokes were always centred around like getting a slipper in off Dad. And obviously, presumably those jokes have gone now.
Oh, child abuse isn't as funny anymore. Do you know what I mean? It's just not.
Because there was one that could change his... I think I might be getting mixed up with a Viz character, but there was a Viz... You know, they usually take the mick out of, like, the Dandy or Beano.
Yeah.
There was a character who could transform himself into, a part of an animal. And when he's getting a slipper in off his dad, he transfers his ass into a rhino. So I can't remember if that's Viz or Beano.
What was the one about the bloke who had really bad piles? What was that in Viz?
Nobby Piles.
Yeah, Nobby Styles. I can't remember, but it always used to end up with him landing with something going up his bottom, didn't
it?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Classic.
Yeah. You never got that in the beat.
Oh, what a formula.
Don't be stealing any of this. This is gold, Jess. Don't be stealing it.
it just reminded me of... I used to watch Beavis and Butthead a lot, and I don't remember any of it now, but I remember one time they were watching, it was kind of like supposed to be Benny Hill, and the only thing he ever did on the programme was go, "Oh, I've got my finger stuck up my bum," and that stuck for years. Their version of Benny Hill was just a guy with his finger stuck up his ass.
Benny Hill was, I'm not being funny, Benny Hill was not funny, was it? Am I the only person in the world who thinks Benny Hill is not funny at all? I've got a pretty poor sense of humour.
I loved it as a kid. Yeah. I used to love it as a kid. Now watching it, you're like, oh my god, this is awful.
This is uncomfortable.
Yeah. I went to boarding school during the Video Nasty era, and we literally watched Cannibal Ferox. You name it, we watched it. But I remember the housemaster coming in and telling us we couldn't watch Benny Hill. I'm just thinking, I just watched a man having his knob cut off in Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah,
but we can't watch Benny Hill.
That's how in touch the teachers were with it.
Yeah.
There was one of those programs on, you know, like when they look back at like TV and how kind of inappropriate it was, and they invariably deal with like racism and sexism. And there was a Benny Hill sketch
I saw that.
Yeah, like the wife of the Benny Hill character had been raped, and he asked Benny Hill's agent.
I don't ever remember that.
Yeah, and like Benny Hill's character says, "Oh, he didn't mention my script, did he?" And like, that's the joke. And it's like kind of that kind of like light celebrities as they're kind of watching this clip and their face is like absolutely aghast. It's God. And it's like, that fucking went out on TV. The change of attitudes is unbelievable.
Anyway, back to kids' comics.
Yeah.
Segue
to Benny Hill to rape.
We've had rape and castration
as it always
in the past
does.
5 minutes. But how do you think the Beano dealt with that?
What, rape?
Yes. No. We didn't get to see what was your early comic, Vince? We didn't ask, did we? What was your first memories?
Oh, I said the Marvel team up.
Oh, was that, wasn't it? What about you, Dan? Sorry, mate.
It's hard to recall the specific one, but I think I kind of graduated from Beano and Dandy onto Oink and stuff like that.
Did Oink and then, have a sort of like Conan the Barbarian sort of parody? Is that?
It could well have done.
can't.
Charlie Brooker wrote a lot of stuff for Oink.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because I kind of wonder now, had I got Oink, if that would have influenced my art. Because all the stuff I like watched as a kid, like all the cartoons and stuff, and all the comics that I really influenced my work.
Yeah.
And I often wonder, the stuff I didn't read, would my stuff be different? Like, I only ever had one issue of 2000 AD that my mum bought kind of accidentally, because it was just a comic in the shop. And I can still remember, I think I've still got it upstairs. It had this really weird, I don't think they ever released it as a graphic novel. It was like a dinosaur death race.
Okay.
All these guys riding dinosaurs. And yeah, it was like the last part of that story, and that was the only one I had. Like, my mum got us some comics to take on holiday with us, and she was like, oh, here's one. I was like, 2000 AD. I was like, oh, there's blood in this, and kind of I'd never seen it before. And yeah, I've still got that issue kicking around somewhere.
Are all comic readers hoarders? Because I'm sure all of us are. I've got comics when I was very young.
I'm obviously not.
Yeah, you're clearly not. Yeah, you buy a comic and then you bin it straight away, Tony. You don't have a giant crypt which one day is going to fall on you and kill you. You don't have anything like that, do you?
That's how I want to die. I've told you this before.
Yeah. Alone in the dark, covered in dirty paper.
I'll tell you what, kind of the segue straight from Oink onto Down the Tube. Was it not Down the Tube? Was the one with the croc?
Bend? Yeah, that was
Round the Bend. Yeah.
Wee Man and Thunderpants.
I have
noticed that a lot of the things that like we liked when we were growing up, there was a certain element of like real twisted humour to it, like pretty dark. And I certainly think that maybe in this day and age, those sort of titles wouldn't get very far. Is that fair to say?
They're
amazing. I think
you could get away with more.
Yeah, you think?
I think there's different areas of kids' comics now, aren't there? I think the book market, especially, you probably attest to this, Jess. The book market for kids' comics is huge now, isn't it? You know, I mean, you're more likely to find a kids' comic in Waterstones than you are in a lot of comic shops, I think.
Yeah.
It's weird though. It depends who publishes it, because a lot of the bigger established kind of kids publishers really shy away from it. They're still very kind of strong on tradition. I mean, I'm not speaking for a lot of them, but I know that Walker Books kind of went for a phase where they did a lot of graphic novels for kids. They did there's one called Gum Girl that's really good by Andy Watson. Yeah, that I think that only had four issues. Gary Norfield's, is it Teeny Tynosaurs? That was through Walker, I think. Okay. But then they stopped because I think it wasn't really taking off as much as they wanted to, and they were very like, oh, we're gonna.
So where were they selling through? They were selling through bookshops, were they, or were they through comic shops?
I think so, yeah. Like, I think Waterstones.
Right, so the bookshop market.
Them, but
Yeah,
but I don't know, because when I was in uni, this is going back, so I graduated 70s. In 2000, and not that far back, 2003, and honestly, if you did anything comic-based, because I just did a like general illustration course, and they were like, oh, no comics. Oh, no, find your own voice with your drawings and then do comics when you leave. They really didn't like it. But now you get, you know, Swindon does like a sequential art course.
Yeah.
And I think there's other ones as well. But
yeah, there's a few other ones, aren't there? Yeah,
so they really kind of, even back then, it wasn't very sort of accessible to mainstream. It was either like manga or graphic novels, like Marvel stuff. But yeah, it was still very, I can still remember my tutors just being like, oh no, don't do comics. It was like, oh, I want to do comics.
Yeah,
because I know,
self-publishing really was just doing it myself.
Yeah, because I know I'm friendly with the Flying Eye imprint, and I chat to Emma from Flying Eye quite a lot, and they're always looking for a new sort of avenue to put comics out in, you know. I think they've got the sort of bookshop covered, you know, like Hilda's in all the Water stuff like that, but they're always looking for that next avenue, you know. What do you see as the future for that sort of thing, Jess? Do you think you need to be stretching out to news agents, or where to go with it? Or
I don't know, because sort of news agents, funny enough, I was in Tesco looking for Hey Dougie magazine for my son. for me, because he can't read yet. So I'll have it instead. But yeah, there's hardly anything that's. I mean, I know Jamie Smart's done a lot of tweets about this. There's like no comics. Like in our Tesco, we got quite a big Tesco near us. They've got like they do the Marvel, the sort of UK editions of a lot of the Marvel stuff. And 2000 AD, but for kids, there's barely anything. I know that the Turtles comic does have good comics in. I'm not just saying that because my husband's written some, but I think well, you can't get into any of them to look to see if they've actually got comics in them.
Oh, they've always got like a free toy or they're in a plastic bag. That does my head in.
Yeah. No, and it's like with the Phoenix, I think they sell in WH Smith's and Waitrose as their kind of one sort of commercial outlet, but it's mainly subscription based. But I think a lot of kids are just drawn in by the kind of the free toys and stuff. You have to sort of approach it in a different way to get them to read something that doesn't come with like a little, like a mini Nerf gun or a mask or something.
Yeah, I can't stand that shite.
I don't know, Do you think that
certain areas of comics are being turned a little bit middle class? Because they're, you know, kids' comics are only really on sale in certain places that is, you know, kids on their own aren't likely to go into the kids' section of Waterstones, are they, for example? You know, it's more a sort of parents take them whilst out shopping. You know, if there's a Waterstones next door to, I don't know, Waitrose.
Yeah.
I hate to cliche people, but, you know.
Yeah, you don't get those sort of...
Never been in Waitrose.
you don't get the smaller newsagents though, do you? You really don't. I mean, because I always used to get my comics not from a brand newsagent.
I mean,
it was a small one.
Yeah, I used to get mine at the road. Mine used to sell. What was it? It was Manga Max and Total Carnage.
Yeah,
two of the UK ones used to put like Godzilla and the Mask, and Akira, and kind of all of those. Okay. Used to do it, and that was just a local, like not very big news agents. But now it's really hard. It's like, God, the girls' comics. I was looking at it yesterday. I was like, God, what would? It's just so much. It's like,
Do you know that's really interesting what you say there, Jason? It's something I was going to get onto in a minute, and I think. I don't know whether I would be comfortable anymore, because I'd probably get attacked on Twitter, firstly, for saying there are boys and girls comics. Now, do you think that, as someone who works in that field, do you think there are?
Again, going into Tesco, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can definitely tell the comics that are aimed more at boys and the ones that are aimed at girls. Like the ones that are obviously aimed at girls, the section was massive. It was very predominantly pink, and that's kind of where I'm glad that I don't really aim for either. I kind of draw what I like or what I think's funny, and luckily a lot of kids think it's funny as well. And a lot of the Phoenix fans don't care that I'm a woman drawing comics. Most of the kids that come up to me to say they enjoy it are boys.
Yeah,
as well, sort of predominantly. I don't know. I really don't like this. You know, boys should have one thing, girls should have another thing.
Yeah. I often compare it to the toy market, because the toy market is almost separate, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
If you go into a toy shop, the girls and the boys are separate. Do girls and boys like different kinds of comics, do you think, if you had to speak in general terms? You know, do boys still buy comics about superheroes and footballers, and girls buy comics about unicorns and ballerinas?
I personally think they don't, but you probably find when you go up the rung of publisher, up the ladder of, like, the marketing people or the, the money people, they'll give you pie charts and they'll tell you this and this has to go to this.
It's got to be about the money, isn't it, I suppose, at the end of the day, same as every business.
When it comes
to aim your product
publishers
at someone,
exactly, we may moan about it, but there's probably stats and pound signs to prove that there's a reason why these people are doing these things, whether we like it or not.
I brought up a son, and he wouldn't He would say to me, "That's a girl's comic, Dad." You know, it's not. That is sort of 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But he wanted to read about Wolverine, Does it, you know, do we have to do comics for each sex in each age? You know, do they have to be specific?
See, I don't think so. I think certainly when it comes to that sort of Marvel, you know, if you're talking about the Marvel DC sort of thing, their characters, it all depends on how they're handled, really, isn't it? But I think that I always like to think it's the strength of the story, but I would have thought that, you know, for instance, Wolverine is now a female. That character is now a female. I don't look at that and think, well, that's being marketed towards girls, or that's being marketed towards boys.
Yeah.
I think that's just a character comic. Does that make sense?
Well, would you buy, say, for example, you had a 10-year-old son, would you buy him a Miss Marvel comic, or would you buy him an Iron Man comic?
I'd buy him both.
If you had the choice.
I'd buy both if I could, but if I had to choose one, I'd probably say Miss Marvel, but that's because I prefer that character to Iron Man. I'm just not that's just me. There you go. I've said it.
I don't know. There's a lot of good content. Content
you've
for the middle.
You've got son, Dan, haven't you? You've got. Yeah. What would you? You know.
I'd obviously let him choose. And there's times when I've said, "What about this?" And went, oh, isn't that for girls? And I've been like, "So, it doesn't matter." Shrug. If you want to read that or want to get that, it's totally up to you.
Mm. It's a personal choice, isn't it? You know, even for kids, I suppose. You know, you've got to do something that appeals to them.
Yeah. I mean, but like you said, if you go in and kind of look at the boys. Kind of stuff and the girls, they're completely for one or the other. There's not like
this in the supermarket crowd. There definitely is, isn't there?
Yeah, they massive kind of.
It's painting with broad strokes, isn't it? Really, rather than although this conversation does bring up the first poll that we had, because we said to the listeners, what do you think of the selection of kids' titles widely available in stores?
Yeah, this is interesting because I was talking to Grendel Ballbag about this.
I stand corrected. That was my favourite name.
Can I just say a name that me and JP created on one of our many car journeys where we do this? Gleet Lancashire.
Yeah, what? Nice.
Do you know what gleet is? It's one of my favourite words of all time.
Okay.
it's the discharge that comes out when you have gonorrhea. It's called gleet. It's just the best word. It's just the best word in the world. And I discovered that word. I could not stop saying it because you have to kind of really say it, gleet. You can't just say like gleet. You have to say gleet.
I wouldn't recommend Googling that either, to be fair. Yeah.
No. I'll be playing that one this week.
A sci-fi book, so I was like, "Oh, Gleet, what does that mean?" But it's such a great word. So yeah, that's one of our names is Gleet.
I can't believe she did an Urban Dictionary.
Snuck one in. Yeah.
Surprise Urban Dictionary.
Word for you to use day to day.
Trust me, they will use it. Now, the poll results, what do you think of the selection of kids' titles widely available in stores? We had three answers. We had great, okay, but could do better, and poor. Which one do you think that overall people said?
I would go poor all the way.
Poor.
I know that the avocado people that listen to this podcast will have gone for the middle ground.
Now, just to clear up for those people who may be listening to their first ever episode of the Awesome Comics Podcast, when he says avocado people, he means the people that stand in Waitrose staring at an avocado for a couple of hours.
deciding whether or not to buy it and squeezing it.
Avocado-related injuries are on the up, aren't they?
Oh, they are, aren't they? Yeah.
Why? What kind of injury would involve an avocado?
Because more people have... You have to cut the thing open.
Oh.
And
there's a massive seed inside. Yeah.
And slitting their hands up.
I've never cut an avocado. I'd like to say that, and I will consider it.
I liked avocados before they were posh.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I don't like them now.
I'll tell you what, cutting an avocado must be a euphemism for something.
Anyway,
what do we think the overall populace said at those? So we had poor Tony. What did you say again?
I said the middle one, whatever it was. Could be better.
Okay.
So you used to say that on my report card at school a lot, so I went for that one.
He's never here, that's what you say. Now, in last place with 13% was great. In second place, with 30%, was Poor. And with 57%, was okay, but could do better. Now, that's interesting enough, but the most interesting thing I find was immediately, Dan and Jess immediately said Poor. There was no hesitation. And these are probably two people, out of the four of us, Tony, I guess you agree with me here, have the most experience with kids' comics, obviously, you know, with your kids or working in comics or whatever. Dan and Jess.
Yeah, definitely.
Go down to the shop, there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's just those trash magazines.
It's an area I don't know. I don't read.
I'm very much looking for myself as well. I'm kind of looking at the stuff that I want to read or that I'd hope my son would get into when he was old enough. So I'm kind of speaking for myself on that. I just sort of look and think, oh, there aren't really any comics. It's all sort of magazines with filler in. Really.
That's exactly what I threw,
It's
like a cheap plastic tool on the front, word searches, and there's like three or four pages of comic. And
So for any actual comics, you need to go to a comic shop, really.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite interesting you say that, because like, here's some of the responses that we had to that. SJ Webster said, my kids come home from the supermarket with magazines with a toy on the cover, maybe four pages of comic content and 20 pages of filler. So that's exactly what you guys have
said. Yeah, when he said four pages, I was really surprised by that. Yeah. That's nothing. That's not worth it, is it?
Yeah, it's not. It's crap.
Yeah, so I think Turtles at least has like a 12-pager. And then maybe a four-page comic. So it does that they have a bit more than most.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Now, Nick Prolix, at Nick Prolix, a man we're very familiar with at the moment, which we'll find out later.
Yeah, good egg.
He said, DC Superhero Girls books are great, and both my daughters fight over them, which says a lot about how good they are and how annoying my kids can be.
That's great. But they like, you can only get them from specialist comic shops.
Yeah, I think they're right by the counter in Gosh, actually, because a couple of people I work with have got kids, and I buy them, one's got a girl and one's got a boy, and I buy them there's the versions of them both, aren't there? Sort of Batman, Superman, Cyborg ones, and then there's the Supergirl, Batgirl type stuff. Yeah,
which is a nice segue here, because the next one is Johnny Cannon at Cannon Hill Comic. He said, in comic stores it's poor, in bookshops it's pretty good, but where are parents likelier to go?
Yeah, bookshops, isn't it? Yeah. A lot of bookshops now have a little coffee shop in them, don't they? You know, baby cappuccinos, whatever they do, and that sort of thing.
And the kids' area is kids. Normally more sort of set out, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. We'll speak about it in a minute, but go on.
Yeah, I guess. So I was going to say, I guess it's whether you're a parent who's into comics and you're more likely to take your child into a comic shop as well, or just. If you're a parent who's not really into comics, you're more likely to go to a bookshop first, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I used to torture my son by hanging about in comic shops and him being bored, but I can imagine most of the Guardian reading, section of society hang about in Waterstones, don't they? You know?
Yeah.
Other bookshops are available.
I've taken my son into Orbital. And he sort of like said, oh, Dad, can I get that toy? And I've looked, and it's like a Transformers Jetfire. It's like 250 quid or something.
Yeah.
I know Tony said this recently online, that the toy prices... I'm sorry, they're...
Oh, my God.
This is like retro collectible stuff, not just kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I actually think that's why Funkos are so popular. If you go and see... I put this out online, if anyone looks at my Twitter, but I put this out. If you go and see Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and you want to get a toy, you want to get an action figure, it's 25 quid. You want to get a Funko, it's a tenner.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Mm. The action figures are 25 quid. How on earth are they for kids? You know. Yeah.
Really expensive.
Yeah.
But then the cheaper ones, a lot of the Marvel ones, if you go in like the supermarkets, for like $9.99, you can get like a Cap or Thor, and they're tiny.
They're tiny.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
They're like really small.
I need to ask this question. How many kids actually really care about how many points of articulation an action figure has?
Yeah. Just want to throw them against the wall, don't they?
Yeah. You know, you need a sturdy, decent looking toy. You don't. I don't care if it's got anatomical sort of, their fingers have like 12 joints in them.
Yeah.
But like,
I had boxes of figures when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Just absolutely loads of them.
Yeah. I've got my Ultimate Warrior figure.
£20 a pop, that's a bit rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. No kids are buying them, and you're not buying them for a kid.
No.
You know. I mean, okay, I like to swap around like little figures that I keep on my desk while I'm typing, you know, but you can't find anything that's worth, you know, that's not really expensive these days.
A couple of years ago, I bought my son a Hulk figure because he was really into the Hulk.
Yeah.
And, he was scared of it because it's like he kind of grimacing with the great big arms. He's got like a real sneer on his face and he didn't want to play with it because he was scared of it. So I was living in the spare room on the shelf.
So you sold it on eBay now.
You were like,
God, I don't think our son's going to have no fear at all. Some of the stuff we've got in our house. One of our best friends bought me for Christmas. Are you guys familiar with the Silent Hill series?
Yes.
You know Robbie the Rabbit?
No.
From Silent Hill. He's kind of like, whenever you go to the fairground, there's this... It's like a rabbit mascot, like a guy in a suit. But it's always like slumped over somewhere with blood on it.
I have to look at this.
My friend bought me a plush one of those, and it lives in Jake's toy box. Okay, and he just around with his arm, and it's kind of like, yeah, I should take that off him. Because he's going to say, what's this red stuff? That's how he speaks. He's 1 year old, and he speaks like an old chimney sweep. So what's this red stuff, rabbit mummy?
So basically, series two of How to Make a Murderer is going to be your kid going...
Oh God, I've ruined it already.
Oh, the second thing it came up was the plush of this Robbie the Rabbit.
That was.
Yeah.
Nice
one. Oh,
yeah. Oh, anyway, we had a couple more comments. Well, we had a lot of comments. I'll just read out a couple more. Zach Simmons-Hearn, friend of the show, guest a few weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
He said, news agents have a pretty dire selection, but the kids' graphic novel areas in bookshops seem to be improving day by day. Having said that, I do worry that parents might not know which graphic novels are for kids and which aren't, as they're often all bunched in together.
Yeah, some shops have separate sections, don't they? Yeah, I know, but a lot of them aren't. They don't,
I mean, certainly, even if you're talking about bookshops, you know, the graphic novel section... It's just all together, isn't it? It's just completely lumped together. Like, you'll see a Punisher Max, you know, quite close to an all-ages book, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Good old Punisher Max.
Sorry, no, when I used to work in Travelling Man, we used to go through a lot of the Punisher Max just to see what horrible thing had happened that month. And, yeah.
Awesome.
It was a great series, but yeah, amazing. I can remember a couple of them. I was like, ooh, yeah.
Did you ever read The Boys? I think he basically went, that's what he did with The Boys. He thought, what outrageous thing can I put in this week?
Yeah.
I did read it. I know there is a character in it called Jessica Bradley, which is a bit of a coincidence, if you ask me. Yeah. And apparently there is also a character called Jessica Bradley in Star Trek The Next Generation.
Is there? What's she in?
I couldn't tell you what series it's in, but it's in one of the holodeck episodes where Picard's a detective and someone called Jessica Bradley gets murdered.
Oh, it'll be when he's the noir detective, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, it's I can visualise her, Jess. I know we've never met, but I'm visualising her as you now.
Then you'll be disappointed when you see me in real life.
I'm sure. So, forgive me for asking, is it a boy or a girl you've got, Jess? Is it?
Boy.
Boy, so what will be the first comic you'll buy him, do you think? What do you think you'll be getting him? Other than your own, you're not allowed to choose your own.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, because I've got so many, and funny enough, his room, I put a load of books in his room, and there's a lot of like all ages graphic novels, like the Moomin books and the Hilda books. Fungus the Boatman is what I hope he'll like, because I loved that as a kid.
Yeah,
and it's quite weird. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
It's because he's very into his books at the minute, but he chews them and he reads them upside down. So he doesn't quite grasp the concept totally of books, but I'm hoping he will, you know, quite like them. I really don't know.
Hilda's a good one. I love the Hilda series.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And the Moomins.
There's a really good French series. Well, it's published in English by Paper Cuts. It's called Ariol. It's originally French, and it's brilliant. It's such a good little series, just about a kid he's basically a donkey, and like all his friends are different animals, but it's so good. It's really, really funny, and they kind of all talk like kids would talk. So yeah. I would highly recommend that to anyone who wants to read something different. So I'd probably definitely read that to him as well.
Well, one I'd recommend is obviously our friend is Night Post. Is one I've bought a few times for Christmas. That's a great book, isn't it, for kids?
That's a really good
Laura Trinder.
And also that one is it transcends sort of because it is a it has no dialogue in it. It's all visual. I know. Really does have that children's book kind of feel to it, doesn't it? You know, but in a
it's lovely,
format.
Isn't it? Mm. Yeah, absolutely lovely. So let's imagine, Vince, the day comes when you have a little Vince, and both me and Dan have been godparents. You know, it's a little boy and he's grown up a few years. What are you going to buy him? What comic would you buy him as his starter, his sort of entry drug? What would be?
Crossed Badlands, I think. Yeah, going to be a good one.
Jeez.
Basically, son, if you're going to kill someone, do it with a horse's cock.
No. You'll make such a good dad. I've always said
God.
That. Yeah.
Look, sorry, I have to ask, how can you kill someone? How do they kill someone with a horse's cock?
I think it's been taken off the horse, to be fair.
Yeah.
And swung around. Not actually still
on the horse. Like a bludgeoning object.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I needed that visual in my head. To make sense of it.
So. Don't Google that either.
No, God, no. Yeah. Especially not on the work machine.
Yeah. I'll tell you one that I grew up reading as a kid was Peanuts. Everyone sort of.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in all seriousness, I think one of the ones I'd say, and I'm sort of spoiling my recommendation here, would be things like Calvin and Hobbes. Things like Calvin and Hobbes, or even the fantastic The Far Side by Larson. You know, those sort of books.
Oh, we do have that. We've got the big collection. I must admit, I've never read it.
Oh, so good. And it is one of those things that when I was a kid, and you go to the library or whatever, and you're picking up books, those are the sort of books that stuck out to me. They were the ones I always wanted to pick up, you know. And like you say, the Peanuts. Charlie Brown.
It's weird when you say a lot of this is newspaper strip stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I know that Colin Wilson, wasn't it? Was it Colin Wilson who mentioned The Perishers? Colin Noble, pardon me, Colin. Colin Noble mentioned The Perishers. Do you remember? That was a great little series by Thelwell.
See, I remember the name The Perishers, and I know as soon as I look at it, I'm going to know it exactly. But a lot of those, but I mean, like when I was a kid, we're constantly saying this, when I was younger, when I was a kid, but like things like Garfield, and you're absolutely right, a lot of that sort of stuff that got me
Garfield.
Into it was those newspaper strips.
Fred Bassett,
I never read them in the newspapers though.
No.
I would always read them in like the collections, like Garfield had those little sort of, they were novel sized little books.
Peanuts did the same. We used to get them for Christmas. And Mad Magazine did a few as well, didn't they? Loads of people did them. You know, St. Trinians, you know, this sort of thing. That was all coming out then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And stuff like Garth and Roy the Rovers and stuff like that also I used to read, you know.
Yeah.
What was the one about the sexy couple that are always naked?
Oh, was it George and...
George and Lynn, yeah.
George and Lynn, yeah.
Oh, my God, I'd forgotten about that. I don't even know where I would have read that. And I completely forgot that existed. Oh, was it in The Sun?
I think
it was. One of the strips?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's not that long ago. It's not. It was a few years ago. It was actually still there.
Yeah.
What about... go on.
No, go on, Dan.
I say the classic Tintin and Asterix.
Oh,
they were kind of perennial favourites as a child.
Asterix was one of the ones that was more readily available, certainly at my primary school.
Yeah.
You know, there was always a couple of editions of those big sort of oversized hardback books of Asterix.
Yeah. The name puns always flew by me when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, Dogmatic. You're not meant to know what Dogmatic is as a kid, are you? I mean, it's like,
Or get a Fix.
Yeah, you just like someone being punched so hard they actually fly out of their sandals.
Shoes,
I tell you, I was in Schiphol Airport in Holland recently, and they were selling the Tintin in Africa book, which I don't think you can buy over here.
Really?
And you can see why.
Yeah.
I've got to tell you. Fucking hell. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Wasn't he a bit like that, the author?
Yeah, I'm not sure actually the history of him, but I think there were different times, Dan. Different times, I suppose. Yeah. But
yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, right now, Dan, you have to leave us, don't you, Dan?
Yes, I must leave.
Yes. There is an orphanage burning, and he has to go and save all the children inside.
He's off to meet Rampage Boombox.
I thought that was his name.
We can let listeners in on the joke on the 100th episode, which is looming.
Yeah.
So, exciting news to come on all fronts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, love to speak to you, Jess. Sorry I couldn't stay for the whole show.
And also...
No, it was thank you for speaking to me.
Yes.
So that's a weird thing to say.
Thing I've ever heard in my
life. Thanks.
We would just leave, but listeners often question and go, where did Joe Bloggs go? He's left.
Yeah.
Or Vince was quiet, etc.
Listeners.
They say stuff like that.
If I've gone quiet, I've either just fallen asleep or I don't know what anyone's talking about.
I just lost.
That's every other episode.
Yeah.
I'm just running it on.
Alternate. All right, then. Well, I'll see you all soon.
Goodbye, Daniel.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right, now he's gone, we can talk about him now.
Oh, good.
Oh, so many jokes, but yeah, there you go, folks. You got a dose of Dan Butcher, so you know what more do you
dose
want
from him?
There's nothing quite like a dose.
Another STD joke in the middle of the kids' special. Genius.
Look, we've covered STDs, rape. What else?
Oh my god! Do you remember that bit in? Is it The Office where they go right? Come in the room, get everyone's attention. So Brent goes in and goes, "There's been a rape up there." And everyone just stares at him. He says, "Well, I'm just getting everyone's attention." Oh my god!
Yeah.
Oh god. We are the attention grabbers. Yeah.
That's us.
But, right. So we're just going to continue without Dan as best we can.
We'll battle through.
Yeah, we'll battle through. Will it be better than the rest of the episode? You let us know. So we asked you, lovely people, what are the best modern examples of gateway comics? We've talked about quite a few that we read when we were growing up, but we're talking about the ones that kids love reading and start them on the path to fully fledged comic fan.
Yeah.
Now we had a few, quite a few replies here. Old Lambo, Mark Lammy, at Monkey Lamster. Mark. He says, books my niece loved were Tintin, Bone, Gotham Academy, and Bravest Warriors. I think Bravest Warriors.
Bone's a great example for me. I think that's a brilliant book to sort of talk about Bone, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Though I still need the entire collection in my... What do they call it? The compendium?
Yeah.
What do they call it? You know, they get that massive fat volume of it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Just to go next to your what's the other one you got when you're in America? That's the biggest book in the history of the world.
Rachel Riley.
Was it the Strangers in Paradise one's apparently immense, isn't it?
God.
I think there's one in
okay. He did that for years and years and years, didn't he? That one went even longer.
Yeah.
Bone came up a couple of times. Robin Williams Scott also mentioned that, as well as Lumberjanes. Which is a book that I really want to read, actually.
Yeah, I've heard great things about that, yeah. I would include Nightlights by Lorena Alvarez, also from Flying Eye, which I reviewed 6 months ago. Just probably the most beautiful children's book. I got a review copy through, and I gave it to a friend of mine in the office 2 weeks ago, and he says his daughter will not put it down. Just incredible. You know, you want that book that will keep the kids' attention non-stop, don't you, really? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's definitely one of them, I think.
Now we also had Zach Simmons-Hearn came in again, and he said Adventure Time and other Cartoon Network comics. He said the Phoenix came up an awful lot in this, and he also said, and I hear Raina Telgemeier's books are very popular. Have you heard of her?
No, I did look her up, I think. Yeah, I see what he's saying.
I need to look that one up. I'm badly unprepared, but but I'm sure there's a lot of people out there going, oh yes, they're very good.
Yes. Fantasy Sports by Sam Bosmer, which is a great little series of a sort of young wizard and his sort of friend who travel about playing different sports, you know. And I like the idea that they've sort of combined, you know, basketball and hockey and all this sort of thing as a sort of sport, and there's little magical creatures play it against them. And a really great little series, really good.
Nice.
You know.
At @Wacker_XO said Adventure Time, Fiona and Cake comics. Adventure Time is a one that I'm sure that loads of kids love. I've only seen a couple of episodes of that myself, but that's huge, isn't it, with the younger audience?
Yeah.
I imagine you must love that, Jess.
Weirdly, I like it. I don't love it. I actually prefer regular show and The Amazing World of Gumball, which is brilliant.
Oh, really?
Right.
Oh, if you've ever seen Gumball, it's really good. It's like all the characters are drawn in a different way. So some of them are really cartoony. There's one that's like, oh, it's like a CG T-Rex.
Yeah.
It's like an actual banana with googly eyes on it. It's really funny. But I do like Adventure Time. But I think as it was getting popular, a lot of people at cons would come up to me and go, oh, wow, your work looks really like Adventure Time. And I didn't really know
it was. That's annoying.
I didn't really say, oh, I've been doing this since before Adventure Time. That sounds like a really weird thing to say. So it was kind of, I didn't really know what to say to people. So it took me a while to get into it. But it is really good. It's really odd and kind of and good. And,
yeah.
But I definitely recommend Gumball as being.
It's very sort of iconic, isn't it? The characters in it are very immediately you know what you're getting, which I think is a hallmark of a good. I mean, a good comic, but also a good kids comic, you know. For example, we were talking about Archie earlier. You know who Archie is. You know who Charlie Brown is. You know who Snoopy is. You know who Hilda is. You know who the Moomins are. You know, they've got that real iconic look to them, haven't they, you know?
Mm. I think the thing with comics based on shows, like I keep hearing good things about the Rick and Morty comic, but I think the thing about Rick and Morty, it works so well in terms of the voice acting and everything else. It's the same with Adventure Time. Like, the music's really good, the character voices are really good. I actually find it harder to read comics based on stuff like that, especially animated series.
I would also say that Rick and Morty's certainly got more of an adult vibe than
definitely saying that. My son loves it. I put that on the TV and he's just mesmerised, and I'm kind of like, he's just turned one, and I'm like, how much longer can I get away with putting this?
At the moment, he's not quite understanding all the drinking references and the sex references. No. So he's just looking at the crazy visuals that go on in every episode. What is the Rick and Morty cutoff point for parents? Let us know at... No.
Yeah. Please let me know.
I know what you mean, though. I can't necessarily... I'm not really a reader of tie-in books. But I think for kids... Well, now, as a reader, I'm not much of tie-in books. But, you know, like I was saying earlier, I was reading Ghostbusters, and I was reading all kinds that I was reading, you know, seeing on TV. So would you kind of say that almost the bigger audience for kids' comics is those tie-ins, you know, that are related to the shows?
It is. I think it really is. But I think the problem you've got is that it's not the one that will have the staying power. So when I was a kid, I probably started on, you know, the Dandy and the Beano, and then I moved over to reading the Hulk and Spider-Man. But I didn't have the comparable cartoon or TV show to follow. So because there wasn't that, you know, TV shows don't last forever, do they? Spider-Man, you know, has been a comic for, you know, donkey's years, but a Spider-Man TV or cartoon series doesn't last half as long. But I think the problem you've got is that people will outgrow comics because their TV series is gone. Maybe. I don't know.
That's interesting you say that. One of the comments we had from Brian Williams at Hang Off Wednesday, he said, my girlfriend is a librarian and says she has more kids start with Sonic the Hedgehog comics and then go on to read more comics later.
Good.
And her largest number of checkouts for a comic are the, I think that's that Raina... I've forgotten the name now.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't know enough about kids' comics to know who that is. I'm sure she's one of these.
A really long surname. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
Apparently, she has to replace those every couple of months because they go out so much.
Okay.
So, you know, I think when you there are some especially like independent artists out there, when they get it right and they get an audience, I find that that young audience really follows them.
Certainly.
And these people make a million quid, don't they? They make a lot of money with children's books and stuff. You know, I think David Walliams makes more money out of his books than he does out of his TV appearances these days.
Whole other conversation about celebrities getting into children's books.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Who was it? Oh, I can't remember who it was. He did a really good Twitter thread about this and why it's kind of not always a great thing. I can't remember now. They did mention David Walliams' books.
Right.
I haven't read any of his books yet. Is that any of you?
God, no. No, I think they're for, I don't know, for like 8 to 10 year olds or something like that. I don't know.
That doesn't mean we can't read them, Tony.
Yeah, we can read them quickly, but not on the train.
It's more the fact that a lot of celebrities have suddenly gone, oh, kids' books, that's easy.
Yeah.
I'll get into that. And yeah,
God, even Madonna's done one, hasn't she? I think in the past.
Oh yes, she has, hasn't she? Yeah.
It's because
hopefully it's not based on her life experiences.
Wearing leotards when she really shouldn't.
Yeah.
another one that was mentioned. Well, another couple that were mentioned. Sam Webster also mentioned My Little Pony, IDW's My Little Pony, which I think is.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. Have you seen the Brony movie?
Yes.
Oh my God.
But that's also got a huge sort of kids audience, hasn't it? That series.
Yeah.
That's a phenomenon all by itself.
Yeah, we're going with that one. Good. Yeah. Good on.
And also Neil Cameron's superb Mega Robo Bros was brought up by Nick Gannon.
That's brilliant.
And Mega Robo Bros, which is it ongoing in the Phoenix? Whenever I pick up an issue of the Phoenix, it always seems to be in there, and it's just magnificent work.
I think it's still going. I think he's done two. I don't know if he's released two of the collective, just one at the moment. I'm not sure, but I like that one. It's really good.
Yes, great stuff. So there's basically what we're saying is there's lots of stuff out there, but from that list a lot of them are the tie-ins, which is quite interesting.
Okay. You got the Etherington brothers as well, haven't you? We haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah, I think certainly one of the biggest names for kids' comics.
Yeah.
But when you're kids, do you go by the name? At what point do you go by the creators?
Well, I never did. No, I never
did. I never did.
No. Not at all. But the problem you've got is the parents might these days. I think. When it used to just be, you go to the news agents and your parents would just take the first comic or say, pick a comic, you'd pick it. But I think now, to a certain extent, it's the parents buy, you know, these hardback books and stuff you get, you know, for their kids. I suppose they might go for the character or, you know, the review they read in the Sunday papers or something like that sometimes, you know.
Yeah. So all ages come. God, basically it's been a tread down memory lane, hasn't it, really?
That's a bit, yeah.
But it's been quite nice. I think.
I mean, I personally forced comics on my child. You know, yeah.
When you say it like that, it sounds awful, yeah. Tony.
Yeah, I made him read comics. You know, and fortunately, my son is. You know, I think to read certain comics, you've got to be fairly intelligent, and he's still got to pull this now. You know, and he's in his 20s, so I think there's a lot to be said for them. You know.
Yeah.
Definitely.
If he didn't want to read comics when he grew up, that would have been all right as well, wouldn't it, Tony?
I'd left him in the airing cupboard, to be fair.
We're all about choice on this show, as long as that choice agrees with us.
That choice is a warm cupboard in my house. Or reading comics.
Oh,
there you go,
warm
a choice.
Cupboard? Well, he's living the dream.
Yep.
But just veering off from it, Jess, would you say that your new book is an all ages comic? I know your son is actually the star of a comic now, so how is that going to be when he grows up? No, he's already a star of a comic, and
I'd say he's less the star of the comic and more of an outlet to stop me going insane and needing to vent my frustrations as a parent.
That's the whole of my comic writing you've just summed up there.
Yeah.
the need to vent.
I think I'm already laying the groundwork of resentment. Yeah. So I think he's gonna not like that I wrote so many comics about his poo.
He's like the poo version of The Unwritten. Do you know that comic from a few years ago where he discovered that he was a character in a comic, and he went, "Oh, you're that character in a comic." He's going to be, "Oh, you're that character who did a lot of poo, aren't you?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read about your shit when I.
That's legendary.
Yeah. But I must say that Tinier Overlord is a fantastic little therapy exercise. Should we call it that? Because that seems to be what it is.
Yeah, pretty.
I mean, you know what you're getting when the book says, and as a disclaimer, this is not a parenting guide. I have no idea what I'm doing. And there's so much poo is one of the bullet points. Would you say poo fueled the creation of this book?
Not really. It was more of a byproduct. an ongoing byproduct. No, just how can something so small. Like, you know, dogs are cleaner than kids. It's just...
Agree with that, Tony? Would you agree with that?
What's that?
Dogs are cleaner than kids.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's very true, actually. Yeah. I'd go with that one.
Yeah. But, I find the poo funny and horrendous in equal measure, so... Yeah. If you're feeding it, then that's fine. But, yeah, it's very much a... I'm not laughing when it's all over my hands.
Yeah.
And my son is sort of twisting on his changing mat while you're trying to change him and not grasping the concept that it's going to go everywhere. And
yeah.
If he stayed still for 2 minutes, everyone would be happy. But no.
That's an opinion also shared by Andy Arscrack.
I know, Andy. How's he doing?
He's all right. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Misses
you.
Has he cleared up yet?
No.
Oh, okay. I will say this, even though we're joking about the poo and like, but Tiny Overlord, it does finish on a very sweet sentence. It's a book that comes about because you love your little son, and it also says he likes pears and Klingons. How do you know he likes Klingons?
We watch a lot of Star Trek. I must admit, I was never really big into Star Trek. I kind of like it more by osmosis now, just because JP watches.
JP's a huge Star Trek fan, isn't he?
Yes. So I really like the S9, and I don't mind Next Gen. If it's on in the background, but we noticed from when he was quite young, whenever a Klingon would come on, he'd go really kind of. Just mesmerised the screen. I think it's because of deep voices.
They've got like a Cornish pasty sort of taped to their forehead, haven't they?
Yeah, I think it's less about the visuals at the minute, but he definitely seems to kind of perk up whenever he hears a Klingon, and I think it's just because of the sort of deep booming voices he seems to find fascinating.
Well, I must say he already likes Star Trek, and. He's got Silent Hill toys in his... you know, I just can't wait to see the sort of man he becomes.
Yes.
So, is this available now, Tiny Overlord? Have you got it available online?
Yes, yeah, I'm not very good at promoting my own stuff, so I'll be selling it at, like, MCM and... conventions, but I really need to start pimping my own stuff more, but I'm not very good at
That's why you're here. So where can people get this book and all your other stuff? Go on, just sell yourself. Well, not like that, you know what I mean.
Okay, just keep talking while I actually name of my online shop is, because it's not loading quick enough. Here we go. It's, my online shop is squidbitsstore.bigcartel.com, and it is available on there. It comes with 3 fun stickers.
Hey.
2.
Yeah, the stickers are about... is it poo and turnips?
No turnips in this one.
Ah.
But I do a lot of turnips, so...
needs to take some. Who would say Nips? That's basically my portfolio, pretty much.
So you're going to be at MCM. When is the next MCM?
Next weekend, isn't it?
Weekend after next.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yes, you're right. No, you're right. Yep.
Not prepared.
So yeah. if you go in there, definitely check out Jess's table and get all her stuff. And yeah, just talk about poo.
Yeah.
Or just bring some along in a bag.
I like theoretical poo. I'm not a big fan of the physical stuff.
Okay. As a theory, it's okay.
As a theory.
Bring in theory. Real poo less so.
Oh dear. Anyway, do we have any shout outs for the lovely people, Tony?
I do. I have a couple of shout outs, just a couple of creators who I've been chatting to recently. Jay Gunn, recent guest. Had a little insight in something he's working on this week. I'm not allowed to talk about it, but I've got to tell you, big things are coming from that geezer. And he's also a guest at Nottingham. So pop over to @GunComics and have a look at his stuff. And obviously a big shout out to Nick Prolix, who is working on something with me, which we're not allowed to talk about either. You might hear about soon, which is just fucking awesome. He's kicking it out of the park, and yeah. we share images of it. I just sent you one. But, yeah, incredible stuff. Yeah, very good.
Yeah,
that's my two.
Now, I've got a couple of shout outs. I just want to give a shout out to Sarah Harris, friend of the show, who may be organising something soon around new what's it, Small Press Day is happening in July, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, for those out there, Small Press Day is happening July the 8th this year. So find out what's happening in your local area with your local stores and creators. And if you're a creator, get in touch with your local comic shop and set up a little
and bother them.
Yeah, bother them, get them involved, because I don't know. We know some great comic book shops, but some of them just need a little nudge.
And
when they know about it, they jump all on board a lot of the time, don't they, Tony? I think.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, and rightly so.
So,
and it's a good way to get people into your shop. Let me point that out to you.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and it's a good way to get your little independent books in front of some people that may not know about it. So, but she may be organising a little event in her local area, which we'll probably divulge more details about next week. So, big shout out to Sarah for that. And also, I just want to give a massive thank you to all the creators who have sent in stuff for our awesome podcast.
Oh, this is looking really good. We've had a big influx this weekend. We've had quite a few, haven't we?
Yes. Yeah. The Awesome Pod Jam piece, which the genius Dan Butcher came up with, is looking great. A lot of people, basically the idea of the piece is we're getting lots of small press and independent characters. You know, draw a picture of this character, send it in to us, and we're putting it together. It's like a huge explosion of characters, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
All together. And what we're planning to do, just being up front, we're going to do a print of this, have it available at London Super Comic Con. So thank you to everyone who's allowed us to, you know, put these little characters on the poster, because we really appreciate it. And all of the profits are going into the hosting of the show and the ongoing, you know, keeping the lights on. That's what a lot of podcasts say, isn't it? Isn't that podcast?
Yeah. I think it's podcast talk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think we know by now after almost 2 years. But yes, but it's looking fantastic. It won't be printed till August. So I know a lot of people, I mean, this week I've been pimping it out and talking about it loads. I think I'm going to hold back on it for a bit, because I've been a bit full on. But if you do want to send us your character, send them to tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. I'll be posting up some work in progress, like how the poster's coming along. And what I really love about this piece, actually, is there's so many different types of characters, but they all really, it works together, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It really does, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, you've got some really cartoony characters, you've got some serious-looking characters. It's just wonderful. Black and white characters, fully coloured characters. It's just amazing stuff. And we're really,
and as a marketing tool for your own character, it's hopefully going to be sort of quite a valuable thing to do.
Yes,
because it will hopefully get you sales if we're going to sell it from our table. It can't hurt, can it? Put it that way, I suppose.
Because what we're going to do with this poster as well, we're not just going to, you know, print off this poster and just give it to people, and people will not know who these characters are. We're planning to also put a sheet together where people can reference who the character is. All the artists and the characters you know, your links will be on there, you know. So people, if people want to know more about that character, they can find you at the shows or find out more about you, etc.
And we'll be putting it online with your characters front and centre. So,
God, yes. So, and they can be from all over the world as well. That's what I love about it. That's another thing I love about it. You know, we're getting great artwork from all over the world. So thank you very much for that. Ah, that was a big shout-out. That's my biggest shout-out for weeks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Normally I stay quiet because I've got nothing good to say.
Jessica, have you got anyone you'd like to shout out?
Yeah, I've got a few. I'm saying that, did JP give me a shout-out on his?
Oh, undoubtedly.
Oh, I'm sure I can't say either way.
Yeah, I don't know if I should or not, but yeah. All right, I might as well. My husband, he does good shit.
The great thing is now, if we go back and listen and he hasn't, you've got this over him for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's...
And it's all because of us.
Yeah. I have got a couple more, if that's okay.
Okay, of course.
James State, I think you know his...
Oh, yes.
His stuff.
Big Jimmy. Love Big Jimmy.
Big Jimmy, brilliant. He's also taking part in... Do you guys listen to How Did This Get Made?
It's one of my favourite shows, How Did This Get Made.
Okay.
He's got a piece up in their gallery show in LA that's coming out in a couple of weeks. He did Catwoman, and it's brilliant. Yeah. It's a great piece.
Awesome stuff.
That's what he's got coming out. Mark Pierce?
Yeah.
Yeah, his Ronan Dogs is really good, but he's just doing a series of really cool like character sketches at the minute.
Awesome at the moment, yeah.
Oh, God, they're so good, and a load of us are pressuring him to get like a sketchbook made, so hopefully me announcing it like this will make him get a sketchbook made. Sorry, Mark, no pressure, but yeah, his stuff's awesome at the minute. And I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong, and I apologise to her in advance. Nanny Ebim.
Yeah.
Her does Mephisto's, her comic, and just her work in general is just awesome.
Okay.
The most gorgeous sketchbooks of her work, and yeah, she's just really good. She's doing a lot of Rogue One kind of fan art at the minute.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. Yeah. I've got one of her prints on my wall, actually.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely love her stuff. So, that's me done.
Showing the love.
Yeah,
gotta love that. Yeah. speaking of love, let's recommend something to our lovely. Watch yourself, Tony. Calm down. Let's recommend something to our lovely listeners, just to send them off into the wild. Tony, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I've got two. I think that's okay because Dan's not going to do his this week, is he? So I'm going to go with two. The first one. I know. The first one is, I'm completely late to the party on this, and I do apologise in advance. However, I'm going to talk about Amelia Cole. And either of you read it?
I've read a bit of it. Great stuff. Oh. I like you.
Listen, before we begin, I think I should point out here that we all know that Nick Brokenshire is a gangster. We all know this, don't we?
He's a proper hard case.
Yeah, we all know this. Yeah. Both a gangster and a fucking absolutely fantastic artist, as has been recently evidenced in The Once and Future Queen, which we absolutely fell in love with and really loved.
And but, let us not forget, he's not afraid to reference himself wearing a pair of pants on his head.
Yes, and he has put pants on his head for our cause, which we will love him forever for. Yeah. However, if you aren't going to buy Amelia Cole for the just incredible story and the amazing art, you have got to buy it for the amazeballs fucking... crazy photograph of Nick in the back matter looking like a French man playing the guitar, which I shall which he'll probably kill me because I'm going to meet him at Lancaster Comics Day, but he is just have me laughing out loud. A guy with a real sense of humor. But I have to say, if there was ever a comic that I would buy for some, maybe a sort of 10 to 12 year old, this is the one. Absolutely. It's written by Adam P. Nave and DJ Kirkbride, who are sort of long-term working partners with Nick. And it's a story of a young girl who comes from a sort of... She's got a magical background, and she travels to a world of where the policemen have got, like, magical wands, but not in a sort of clichéd... I've never seen a Harry Potter movie, but the little bits of them that I have seen, not in that sort of clichéd school uniform, you know, the magical wand kind of thing. It's more sort of the policemen carry wands, and yeah, there's all this sort of thing. And very kindly, Nick heard that we were talking about all ages comics, and he gifted me the first volume, which I tore through, and then immediately bought every other comic in the series. Absolutely brilliant. It shows that comics don't have to be full of sort of rainbows and Care Bears, you know, for kids to connect with them, I think. This is just a straight up adventure story with just absolutely brilliant storytelling, and it's really imaginative. Did you like it, Vince? Did you when you read it?
Oh, it's cracking stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, really good. Yeah. The first volume has got Amelia, and she travels to a world that she didn't know that she existed, which is sort of slightly mysterious because there's sort of hints that she may well have come from this world at some point. And it's a world of sort of shadowy government-sponsored magicians. The sort of superhero, the Superman analog in this world is a magician, and it's got sort of dragons, and she creates a golem who she calls Lemmy. But not only does the sort of Amelia battle the villains with her sort of, she's got, rather than her magical wand got broken in a fight, so she's got like a magical monkey wrench, but she also has to sort of survive in this world because she's got no money or anything like that, and they don't accept credit cards because it's a sort of magical place. I suppose credit cards are, you know, could easily be circumvented in the magical world, but so she has to take a job as the caretaker in a local block of flats. Really, really good. It's full of little nods as well. There's little sort of little people who appear in it. There's a a Mark Wade's TV repair shop. There's an Eisner's bar. You spot the Matt Smith Doctor Who in the background in one crowd scene. There's a Captain Cuba who's an army officer in one of them. And they get, at one point they get attacked by a load of monsters, and one happens to be a sandworm from Arrakis. This sort of thing. And I'll tell you what, Nick draws all the people. I've got to tell you, he don't shy away from drawing all the buildings and all the people. He's one of these guys who just puts there's an awful lot of detail in it.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant physical storytelling. The battles will have you on the edge of your seat. You know, she's this sort of plucky girl who, you know, fight, you know, doesn't take a step back and steps forward and fights anything that moves. Absolutely brilliant. You really get to know her as well. She's a really sort of standout character in it, and you get little moments of inner monologue. Oh, the one panel I was looking at earlier, she says, "Don't show you're scared, Amelia." It comes up in a sort of in a panel, and it's what she's thinking. I would say if there was a timeline for comics, it would be Hilda, and then it would be Amelia. That would be where I would go with it. I think two sort of great action, frenetic, clever, very well told stories. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely brilliant stuff. Really, really good. Go to nickbrokenshire.co.uk. You can have a look at some more of Nick's work, or on the Once a Future Queen, which is currently out from Dark Horse.
I'll say this as well. I mean, obviously, we're blowing smoke up Nick's ass.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But I'd love to see him on one of the big two books. Obviously,
that's where exactly where I was going with that, dude. I agree completely.
He should be doing something. Probably more in a sort of Marvel style. I mean, I know I'm a Marvel zombie, but I can see him fitting in with some of their characters. But or Valiant, I think. Get him on a Valiant book.
Get him on a Faith book. Be brilliant.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely excellent. Yeah, yeah. He's got that. He's just incredible storytelling. Mm. Really good. He's top of his craft, I think. Really like the guy as well. Really, really enthusiastic around his work. So go and get that. I've got more off Comixology, and I think you'll find the first one, I think, is $6.99, and then the following volumes are only $2.99 at the moment. So it's worth jumping on them. Nice. Yeah, very good. Very good value. And the second one is completely different that I wanted to talk about, is Goat Herded by Charlo Friday. I think that's how you say his name. It's published by Avery Hill. I've been catching up on a couple of the books. I know they had a little tiny bit of slowdown where they were sorting out the distribution, weren't they, Avery Hill? But they've just exploded back out with a number of titles. This is completely off the chart, weird, and is in no way an all-ages comic. But I've got to talk about it because I enjoyed it so much. A sun explodes, and cubes full of liquid with naked humans suspended within them float to the surface of a planet. One of the humans leaves his cube to touch a flower that's growing, and the cube sort of capitulates and melts around him. There's a flower analogy throughout the book, actually. And the human is initially he's afraid to leave the comfort of the sort of water that surrounds him, and he's approached by a goat-headed shape-shifting creature who begins talking to him. It gets weirder. This creature then sort of transforms into a potted plant and requests he's strapped onto the head of a goat, and they then ride through the alien landscape until they find a big pink ball that appears to be some form of spaceship. And that's not even the weirdest part of the book. Things only get stranger. Who wants to read comics about shopping or knitting? I don't. I want to read comics that just will fucking blow your mind. I want to read stories about riding around goats on alien planets, don't we all? And I like it when human beings get sacrificed to horned space priests who are drinking bottles of pop. Which happens at one point in this.
I think I may be a space priest.
I think you may be, yeah. Yeah, they're not eating Monster Munch, but maybe one day. It's the first half of the comic is weird enough, but it's a little bit minimal in the first half, and then the second half of the comic just takes off, just goes proper crazy, off the chart, strange. It's got a little bit of a sort of Euro sci-fi edge to it, I would say. That sort of strangeness, you know, a lot of the European, we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, have a different take on things sometimes, and I like the fact that they do. But it also combines that sort of Euro thing with a bit of a sort of indie punk feel to it, I suppose. The planets are littered with sort of strange creatures and spaceship junk and big-eyed creatures, and it just flips you the fuck out, actually. I have to say, I just really like that Avery Hill are there, and it really speaks to what the weirdness is that I'm often looking for in a comic. I don't always want to know about people and what they're sitting on the couch and, you know, watching television over. Sometimes I want that just mind-blowing strangeness, which is what it does. It's got themes of sort of as you've heard about sort of life and birth and death and the unusual wider world, and it does actually go somewhere that you don't quite expect in the end. Actually, I did turn me around a bit at the end. I thought, oh, didn't expect that, but I didn't expect it, and it surprised me in a good way. I'd love to see more from this creator. If you go to Charlo, CharlofraDe, Charlo Frade, or charlofrade.com, you can find his stuff, and obviously go to averyhillpublishing.com and buy yourself a copy, or any of their other amazingly good books. They put out something else, something's just about to come out from them called Something City by Elise Weaver, which I might talk about soon, but they've got some great stuff coming out recently. Very good. I was chatting to David White today about it, and nice. Very good. There you go. That's my two.
Nice. Well, my one I'm going to recommend, I was going to say Calvin and Hobbes, but I don't need to do that. You all know, you all read it.
We all know to read that, don't we? Yeah. Follow them on Twitter, actually, because you get one a day, don't you? I quite like that.
Ah, nice. But the one I'm going to recommend is by Jamie Smart, a friend of the show. Well, we say that all our guests are friend of the show.
They're all most our friends. Haters. Yeah, most Jess will never speak to us again. But Jamie, I'll tell you who's a friend of the show. He's Clubber Fanny Fart. He's a very good friend of ours.
Oh.
I love the fact that Jess has changed her mic, so we just got this distant echo of a little giggle going on.
Yeah, she tried to stop herself from laughing, I'm sure, but it's not. But yes, I'm going to recommend a book that we've talked about in the past when Jamie was on, and that is Moose Kid Comics.
Yes, right. Very good.
And I know it's something that Jess has been involved in as well. Now, some of you out there might not have checked it out yet, but you really do need to check out moosekidcomics.com. Now, basically, it's, as it says on the website, it's glorious 36-page free-to-read digital children's comics. Now, these are all artists that have given up their time and just for the love of comics and to get it into the hands of the next generation. Over 40 of some of the best comic artists out there, from some of the well-established, there are characters in this comic, some of which are going to appear on the Jam piece that I was talking about earlier, and also just newer sort of comic creations. What did you do a Squid Bits for it, Jess?
No, I did a character called Cecil P. Wombat, expert on everything.
Classic.
Yeah.
But they're all original characters, and they're for the Moose Kid comic. No one involved makes any profit, and like I say, all the artists are given their time for free, and it's basically just to get comics out there to a new audience and to show just how great kids comics can be when it's just independent. It's almost like a comic that's really done in the spirit of the Awesome Comics podcast, because it's just great creators coming together to create something that they love and they know, and kids are going to love it too. And also Jamie's, he's very passionately sort of pushes children's comics, and we'll talk about them ad nauseum. When he was on the show, he's talking about getting this possibly into like hospitals and libraries and all kinds, but they're all free to read online, and they're all hilarious. And you know, there's great action. It's so professionally done. There's three issues and a Christmas special. It's worth checking out. Just go to moosekidcomics.com. You will not be let down. And plus, it's free, so you have absolutely no excuse. You will discover new creators, and you will see. You will probably read it and then be surprised that there is work in there by people you know. And then if you think about it, those people have given up their time and comics just purely for the love of it and to get it out into a new audience. And that's what it's all about. It's all, you know, we talk about this medium we all love, but if there's not if the next generation aren't reading these, you know, they're not being introduced to something new, we're just going to get the same old nonsense all the time, aren't we? So yeah, this is fantastic stuff, so check it out. Now, Jess, what would you like to recommend to our lovely listeners?
If I may, I would like to pimp some of the Phoenix's awesome graphic novels that they're putting out, Phoenix Presents. I'm going to do my personal favourites, which are Bunny vs. Monkey by Jamie Smart. Just anything that he does is just brilliant.
Yeah.
His work's so good. Who else? Star Cat by James Turner is brilliant. Really, really funny. He also did Super Animal Adventure Squad for the DFC a few years back, and I think you can get that as a graphic novel as well. That's really, really funny. Also, Gary's Garden by Gary Northfield is really good. Really nice little kind of one-shot comics set in his garden, and it's just really... Oh, it's just brilliant. And Corpse Talk by Adam Murphy.
Now, Corpse Talk's an interesting one. It's one I haven't read any of that yet, but I'm very intrigued by what that actually is. Isn't it like he's talking to dead famous...
It's basically dead historical figures that he kind of interviews, so they all look a bit, like, mummified and zombified, but it's kind of educational and amazing and really good. And one of the ones he did recently in the Phoenix was it was a periodic table, and each thing it was kind of like almost for someone like me who's really crap at math and science. So each element had something made from that element, if that makes sense. And I want to get a really big copy of that done and put up on my son's wall when he's a bit older, because it's just so good. But it's well worth a look, Corpse Talk. It's just
awesome.
I don't know how he does it. It's just really inventive. He manages to do something kind of different every time, and it's just like his drawing's really good and the idea's brilliant, and his wife colours a lot of his stuff. She's lovely. She's really, really nice. And they have a little boy as well, so I always see pictures she's posted on Instagram and go, no, because I'm now one of those people.
Oh, you're one of those people.
That goes on about their kids all the time.
Now, the Phoenix books, though, they're so... The collections that they put out are really nicely done as well. They look lovely on the shelf, don't they?
I was just going to say that. Yeah, they do. And actually, Neil Cameron did a really good one, How to Make Awesome Comics.
Yeah. Nothing to do with that. We just want to let you people know he did that off his own back.
No relation. A bit like Die Hard, Johnson & Johnson, no relation. But I kind of want to shove that as many kids as I possibly can, because it's a really good book. But all of them are really good. It's, you know, I can sit and talk through every single one. But yeah, I definitely have a look. They've got them all on their website, and they do a lot of bundle offers as well. So you can get like all the... Bunny vs. Monkeys in a bundle, the Corpse Talks, and sort of the Etherington Brothers Von Dugan ones you can get in a bundle, so well worth a look.
Awesome stuff. Yes, I'm really trying to get one of the people, one of the heads of the Phoenix Towers, to come on and talk to us. So yeah, the Phoenix is great stuff.
And they're all lovely as well. Everyone who works there, they're
well,
all.
You have to say that though, don't you, Jess? Don't you?
I don't have to, but I want to. Some of the best conversations I have are with my editor, who he'll sort of ring me up to talk through my roughs, and we end up going on like really random tangents of other things, and they're just really lovely. They're all really nice, and you know, they love what they do, and that makes working for them even more fun because they're just so enthusiastic and
awesome.
Yeah, I'm not getting paid for this endorsement, I would like to add. It's straight from the heart.
Oh, there's so much emotion on this show. This show has been all over the shop. It's been emotional, it's been dangerous, and it's been everything apart from all ages. I think we can honestly say that.
Come round to our house and play Cards Against Humanity one night.
Oh, I love Cards Against Humanity. It's the nuts.
We've started to make up our own. It's kind of like we don't play it in front of anyone else, really, because it's kind of like we're horrible people.
And that's a new parent for you, folks. So there you go.
Poor kid doesn't have a child.
Mum of the year, Jess Bradley. Yeah. But we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. It's been certainly a lot of fun. I mean, going into it, some of us were like, "Oh, all ages and kids comics. Don't really know so much about that." But like every topic on the Awesome Pod, as soon as you start getting into it, it's just off to the races then. We've all got something to say. Well, we all find out a little bit more, don't we? We find out a little bit more about each other.
Yeah, I just channeled my own childish behaviour. That's fine.
Yeah, it's not like you.
I just realised I've had the mute button on for 2 minutes. I thought you two were ignoring me. That's fine.
Have you been talking into space? I thought you were being quiet.
Yeah. I had a penguin. I was eating a penguin that I got given, and I thought I'd put it on mute. Oops.
I'll tell you what, I was having a lovely conversation with Jess, but there was a small thought in the back of my mind. Is Tony still there? How am I going to finish this show? How am I going to...
I kept saying things. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, do you know what's been happening in this show, folks? There's several different ways that you can let us know what you thought about this episode and more. You can email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. If there's any events or anything else like that coming up that we need to know about or talk about on this show. And also your jam pieces, if you've got a character that hasn't been taken part yet. tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Like us on Twitter. Well, no, follow us on Twitter, isn't it? It's like us on Facebook. Oh, God. Yeah. Social media. You do it. Mm. But follow us on Twitter @TheAwesomePod, where we announce... Well, we've got the usual weekly polls, and we announce who's going to be the guest for the next week. Episode 99 has a guest that's got quite a popular book that's come out recently, certainly in Kickstarter. It's going to be quite an exciting one. So there you go. So follow us there. Likewise, like us on facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast and join the conversation, the main conversation on the internet, the one that's not full of shit or people's opinions that you have to mute.
Yes. Yeah, at the moment especially.
yes. Join the group, even if you don't do Facebook, and I don't do Facebook, but the only reason I go on Facebook is to read the group Awesome Comics Talk. Because it's comics fans and comics creators coming together to have it's just a great time, isn't it? It's just
because we did the whole thing where if you're going to post, you have to sort of say I'd like to post, and then one of us presses yes.
Yeah.
I pressed yes. I can't remember what it was, maybe yesterday or something, on a post, and I was sort of rushing about, and I thought literally like 10 minutes later, oh, I'll have a look, see how that post is going. It already had 20-odd replies to it. I thought this is great. Do you know what I mean? The only problem we have is if you're a listener, we'd love you to join. We genuinely really would. But if you've got a bit of a locked down sort of Facebook account, then send one of us a little message as well, because we're getting an awful lot of, I don't know, robots, are they?
Yes.
Trying to join. And it's difficult to work out who's what at the moment, really, sometimes.
Yeah.
You know. If you get a chance, send us a message. If you've got like loads of mutual friends and things like that, then you're going to get authorised straight away. But sometimes it's difficult to work out who's who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, because we want the space to be for genuine comics talk and just fun. And it is great. We've had some great topics, and people talk about actually like story creation and stuff as well. And they're swapping tips and the way they work, which is fantastic.
Very good.
As well as just like what's on your bookshelf, which I did this week.
Yeah, that was a good one. I like that one. Yeah, that got a lot of replies as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a hold of that binding. That guy put up a thing about his binding.
Yeah. Yeah, that looks
brilliant.
That's big in America. That was big in America a few years ago, wasn't it? Yeah. It's not so, you don't see it so much over here, comic book binding, do you?
Yeah, I've already got a couple of series. Yeah, I need to see that. Yeah, definitely. Mm. Good.
So there you go. Join that group. Thank you very much for listening to us, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher or the Podnose Network or wherever you heard us, leave us a cheeky little review.
Yeah.
We'll love you for it. We'll be your best friend.
I will.
That's what you said at school, wasn't it? I'll be your best friend.
I will actually love you.
Yeah, he will. And trust me, that doesn't wash off. In terms of podcasts as well, I may have guested on a podcast recently.
Oh, I've downloaded this, I think. Is it the most recent one?
It's not the most recent one. I think this Wednesday. This Wednesday is going.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay. I didn't think you'd be talking about the turtles. So I downloaded that one.
No, that's a good episode. That's a cracking episode, actually.
Yeah, I should listen to that as well. Yeah.
Our mate Stacey Taylor from the Pop Culture Parlor. I got in touch with her because I just needed to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy with someone. If you've seen the film, it is a spoiler-filled podcast. This is people that have watched it. So there you go. Yeah. There's your spoiler warning. Don't listen to it if you haven't seen it yet. But if you have, listen to me waffle on about it and probably get a little bit emotional. There you go. So that may be coming in the next week. And she's got a few outtakes as well, which have ridiculous sounding names. So fuck knows what I was talking about towards the end.
Have you heard it then? Has she sent it to you already, has she?
No.
Oh, God.
I have that sort of moment. You know when you finish a show and you look back and you think, what did I talk about?
Yeah,
so
every
I'm
week.
That kind of fear. At the moment,
yeah.
I'm not quite sure what I said. So hopefully it came out all right. But anyway, where can people find us online, on social media, etc.? Tony?
Ezo, yes, on Twitter. If you go to either neverironanything.blogspot.com or down the tubes, you'll see the review I put up for Something City, which is the Elise Weaver Avery Hill book, which I mentioned very briefly earlier, which is a cross between Black Mirror and a ordnance survey map, which will make sense when you see it. But have a look at that.
That sort of description gives someone a nosebleed. Okay.
Yeah. Have a look. It's a great book. Really good. Yeah. There you go.
Awesome. Now, you can follow me online at Jester Diablo. You can find more about my comic at theredmousefrommars.com. You can follow Dan, the man, the wonderful legend butcher, at Vanguard Comic. I'm not going to say it as fast as he normally does. So, you know, here you go. Follow him on Twitter at Vanguard Comic and read his comic Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com. which, as he's not here, we can say nice things about it. It's on proper form at the moment. Good to have it back. Cracking stuff. And Jess, where can people find you, etc.?
I'll do my Twitter because it's easier. I'm at Venkman Project.
Yes, that is the best name ever as well. Allow me to point that out to you.
Do you remember years ago when Guitar Hero was really popular? That was my band name. And it just stuck ever since.
That's what an amazing origin for a name. I always wondered where that came from.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic name.
Taking away history.
Or follow the alternative Snufkin Diablo on Twitter.
Just because you did some weird fucking Moomin... like trying to be me, like just
Goth Moomin. Goth Moomin.
Goth Moomins, yeah. The Gothkins. No, it probably exists. Anyway, fuck off, Tony, you bully. You've been a wonderful guest, Jess. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm trying to say that unsarcastically as I can, because everything I say seems to sound sarcastic, but thank you very
That's
much.
That's been great. Yeah, definitely.
And we
definitely
have
my favourite ever.
That's what you said to JP, her husband, though.
Yeah, I was lying to him.
Oh, yeah, lying to him. Yeah. Check out Jess's work, and this ongoing week, read loads of comics. Small press, big press, we don't care, as long as you're reading comics. And if you've got kids, you know, hopefully
introduce
they're reading comics too.
And if they don't like them, lock them in there in cupboard.
Exactly. Exactly. We're all about good parenting on this show, especially Jess.
Thanks.
So, from Mum of the Year, myself and Tony, have a brilliant week, and as always, stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Dance the Underground, it was. That's a good song, actually. I quite like that still. But I can't listen to the album now without being embarrassed. You know, you sometimes you're embarrassed and you emit a little noise. You're that embarrassed by something you've done.
What noise?
Yeah. What kind of noise? Like a sex noise.
Tony, that was...
Yeah.
is that your embarrassed noise?
That's me cannon noise. Do you know when you fire your cannon?
When you're on the vinegar strokes.
Yeah, I don't forget. I never really get to the vinegar strokes. Yeah. Sorry, Jess. We thought you'd gone.
can you hear it?
Occasionally, when I get going in the sexy bedroom stakes, I make the start-up noise that my computer makes. Just like, yeah.
Boom. Oh, I've got to remember to keep that sex noise saved somewhere.
I don't want to ask what you're going to do with it.
Yeah. One for the bank.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jess. Sorry. Sorry, we're not normally like
no,
this.
No, but please don't. No, believe me, there's, you know, our conversations get worse than this.
I was just going to say, would you guys like a bonus birth-related anecdote featuring Predator?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God,
yes, please.
It's not graphic.
Oh, it's a shame.
Go on.
Basically, when I was pregnant, I used to put my computer speakers on my belly and play the Predator soundtrack.
Oh my God.
For the bebe. And he used to react quite strongly to a lot of the tracks that had a lot of the kind of frantic drum beats. But I say that, I used to put the Back to the Future soundtrack on as well, and he used to go just as crazy. So I think he was just an Alan Silvestri fan. However, when I was actually going into labour and having contractions, but couldn't go into the hospital because nothing major was happening, I was watching Predator because JP was like, just sit down, watch your favourite film, and, you know, we'll see what happens. And the contractions were getting really strong. And it was getting close to the end of Predator. And I've got a feeling he knew he could hear the music because my mum rang me. Was like, oh, how are you getting on? And I basically said, oh, I have to go, Mum. There's a really strong contraction. And just as Billy was getting killed in Predator by Wolfenstein. And it was all go. So, you know,
hey. I
was sort of technically born by a Predator.
Oh, my God. My God. I've learned several things from that story. A, your son is the best person in the history of the world. B, you're like one of my favourite people now because Predator is joint favourite film of mine ever. And C, you are actually Mum of the Year.
Yeah.